So as I was casting about for a sermon title, as I was looking at these texts on this, the first day of a new year, of course I thought of history, because that's just the kind of person I am. And then I thought, well, let's ask the question, history, what is it good for? I thought of playing a brief snippet from a song called War, What Is It Good For?, just so we'd get in the right mood, but I'm not sure anybody wanted to listen to 70s power rock at this time of the day, or perhaps ever. So history, what is it good for? Well, it's good for a bunch of things. Not least of which, if you don't have any history, you don't know who you are. And I don't know if you're familiar with Oliver Sacks, the late neurologist, wrote about music, wrote about a bunch of other things. He has a book called The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. And it's about peculiar things that he had encountered in his practice as a neurologist. And one of them was, I'm pretty sure it was in that book, one of them was a man who had no memory after a head injury in the early 40s. So the last thing this man remembered was being, I think he was a sailor, I think it was 1943 or thereabouts, so everybody who was at all eligible was certainly in the armed forces somewhere. I think he was a sailor. And he had no memory after the day of his head injury. So every day he met Dr. Sacks as a new person. This man had no idea who he was as he was. And Oliver Sacks said that one of the few things he did as a doctor that he regretted was he presented this man with a mirror. So somebody who thought he was in his 20s or whatever age he was sees himself at the actual age he was, and he was horrified. And Dr. Sacks said, the only thing that made it even remotely tolerable, and he shouldn't have done it, is that by the next day, it was as if it had never happened. So this man knew something, but he didn't know anything about who he actually was. He only knew who he had been. History, continuous history, gives us a context in which to understand ourselves. And it's worth studying. History was not invented to drive middle school students crazy. There's lots of reasons to study history, not just because it will annoy you, as I'm sure many grade 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 students have thought. And we study history because it helps us remember where we came from as individuals, and then from the larger picture of our civilization, our culture, our faith. And so we look at our text today, and we begin in Isaiah. And we have Isaiah saying, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised. This is in the past. Isaiah isn't saying, let's look at the things that are happening right now. He's saying, let's look to the past and see what God has done. Well, why would Isaiah be doing that? Well, one of the reasons why Isaiah was doing that was to bring comfort to people who were not experiencing the same things that he's talking about as far as the glories of the Lord. And he's saying, remember, he said, surely they are my people, children who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In their distress, he too was distressed. This is a prophecy looking towards Jesus, but it's also talking about what happened then. The angel of his presence saved them in the past. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. Isaiah is looking to the past to bring some meaning into the future, because that's the other thing history does. If we're unmoored from history, it's very difficult to figure out what anything means. We need to know where things came from. We need to know what they meant then so we can figure out what they mean now, if they mean anything at all. We move into our Hebrews passage, and what we see again is the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, and as you know, I think it was Priscilla, the author of Hebrews is reminding us that Jesus was flesh and blood, was a human being just like us. And the author of Hebrews is also looking to the future. It's the recent future for them, within 100 years at the most, I would suspect. But saying, don't forget that we have this high priest, that we have a savior who was just like us, but more so, fully human, fully divine, but was brought to us that we might know that God knows what it means to suffer, what it means to be filled with joy, all of the experience of life, Jesus demonstrates through the divinity of Jesus coupled with the humanity, Jesus reminds us that God knows from walking in our shoes, for living a life very similar to ours, not in detail in very many things, but in the same kinds of things. I've said it often. Jesus was frustrated. Jesus was angry. He was happy. He was all of those things, just like we are, just about different things. And the author of Hebrews wants us to make sure that we remember all of these things and quotes the Old Testament frequently. There are more Old Testament quotations in Hebrews than in any other epistle. So this is someone who knows and is looking to the past, the far past, to make sense of the recent past, which then makes sense of the present. History is what lets us do that. History is what brings all of these things together. Carlos Castaneda is usually the one who's credited with saying, those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. Which is true, I think. But those who don't study history have no idea what to do either. And we're going to see people continuing to make the same mistakes over and over again. One of the things that the study of history does is at least occasionally provides us with a ratification of what we're doing. And when we look in our Matthew reading, one of the things that leaped out to me, first of all, it's a story from the past for us. But Matthew writes, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Well, if you've ever had a dream that seemed to be more than just the whatever of our subconscious. If you've ever been in a conversation with someone or in a meeting of some sort, and you suddenly have this word of wisdom or prophecy or encouragement, whatever it is, that sense within yourself that this is more than just you and your experience speaking, why would you trust that if you didn't have some kind of evidence beyond yourself that this could be coming from God? And we see here, looking back to the past, that Joseph received critical information in the form of a dream. God doesn't only communicate in dreams. I don't think God even very often communicates in dreams. But if you have these dreams that feel different than the other, they're worth paying attention to. And we see the same thing. This is more of the spiritual gift aspect that's covered by other authors. But we believe now and then that we have this word of wisdom that cuts to the heart of the matter, that accomplishes more than our own cleverness and experience could do. And we believe that comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we hear it from somebody else, we believe the same. And we know about that because of the Bible, to begin with, where Paul and Peter talk about spiritual gifts. And then also all through the history of church history, where over and over again we see people who have come up and spoken words of truth to the church that nobody was expecting, that were more than just somebody's bright idea. We've had lots of bright ideas in the church, many of which are wonderful. But when you go back and you look at people who are speaking truth to power, who are speaking out for the oppressed, all of those kinds of things, what we see is that every once in a while, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives people an insight into something that needs to be done. We see it in words of encouragement. We see it in prophecy. That's that speaking truth about what's going on. It's not always about the future. Often, most of the time, it's about what we need to do right now. But we pay attention to these because they don't just spring out of nowhere. We pay attention to these things because we know that God has communicated in these different ways in the past. And the only way we understand that is through history. All kinds of people will tell me that history is dry, dull, and boring. And if you talk to them long enough, you will find there are all kinds of historical things that they absolutely love. Maybe it's their sports team. They're not talking about what they did today. They're talking about what they did a long time ago, especially if they're Maple Leaf fans. You know, they're looking back to the past. That's history. History isn't only battles and kings and queens. Those are important to be sure, but that's not all of it. So much of history is just individual people. And we can take encouragement from that, not just in the big picture of what it means to be a Christian in Matthew or Hebrews or what it means to follow God in Isaiah. I take great comfort and encouragement from the history of my parents and grandparents. That's still history. When I'm going through a tough time and I wonder if I can make it, because I wonder that sometimes, and perhaps you do too, I think back to my mother's stories about living through the Depression, 1932 and 1933 in southwest Saskatchewan was not a great time. She related the story of the year that her and her sister got an orange for Christmas to share between the two of them. Profound gift. I used to think it was all four of them, but it was earlier than that. It was just the two of them. She made it. Not alone, with loads of help, but she made it. If she made it through that, maybe I can make it through what I'm doing. Yes, I can, because she made it through that. I think of my grandfather, who emigrated from Norway and came over to the New World and ended up taking care of his brothers and the uncle, who was supposed to take care of him, because the uncle had some issues, as it turned out. He wasn't expecting that, and yet he did it. And it's not just those things. I like to think I'm a generous, kind person. I like to think I'm hospitable. Where did I learn those things? Yes, they could have been granted to me in a spiritual gift, an act of the miraculous. But no, I learned them from my parents. I learned them from my grandparents, who were kind, generous, patient people. I saw it. My history informs who I am today, in good and bad. There are things that I wish my parents wouldn't have done that affected me and still do. My parents were as human as any. They made mistakes. The outcome of some I bear today. That doesn't mean that I don't pretend, that I've tried to pretend it didn't happen. I just look at that's part of my history, and each of us has one. The only people that don't have a history are brand new babies and people who have had a catastrophic head injury, apparently. And even he had a history, he just didn't know it. Occasionally, I think it would be nice to be a baby again. I finished up my Santa Claus thing. One of the things I do as Santa Claus is I keep this my own little tally in my head. Who's the youngest person I've seen? I don't keep oldest because I don't care. And nobody's going to tell me. Actually, no, some do, but still. The youngest I got this year was 5 days old. An extraordinary thing. And then they let me hold this 5-day-old baby. This baby at 5 days had a history. At 6 days had a history. Because at 6 days, they had gone out of the house the day before because even though it was minus 42... Because as the mother put it, this was the first day that she had felt human, and she didn't know when she was going to get another one. So they went out, and I think they did everything they needed to do for Christmas that day. That baby has a history. Even if the baby doesn't know the history or remember the history, that baby will never remember being held by Santa Claus at 5 days old. But how much do you want to bet they're going to hear that story? And they're going to look at that picture. And they're going to see this off. That's part of their history. History matters. That's what it's good for. History is the foundation upon which we live lives of significance. Because if we don't know where we came from as people, as families, as congregations, as denominations, as countries, as cultures, if we don't know where we came from, we don't know who we are. We don't know how to behave. How do we learn anything from watching other people, most of whom are older than us, for most of our sort of formal learning part of our lives? When we lock into the history of ourselves and of others, what we discover is who we actually are, and sometimes even who we can become, which is a tremendous gift that we don't always get. Some people who don't know who their birth parents were struggle with this, and I understand that struggle, and I feel it deeply, because we have that sense that we're missing something. What are we missing? We're missing history. So history, what is it good for? Well, it's good for making us the people we are. Doesn't mean that the history is always good. There are a number of things I did as a younger person that were not good that have made me the person I am now. I wish I could have got them other ways, but I did, because some of them are positive. We study history so we can know who it is that we are and who it is that we can become. History is good for all of us. This book, this Bible, it's all history. There's prophecy in it, to be sure, but every word in there was written a while ago. Quite a while ago. We study history because that's where we find truth, that's where we find examples, that's where we find ourselves. Amen.